May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from that Gospel, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, as I said at the beginning, we've quite a bit going on today in today's service. For a start, it's the first Sunday of Lent today. We've got our purple vestments and hangings out. And also our gospel reading, as it always is at this time of the year. Our gospel reading was an account of the 40 days and nights that Jesus spent in the wilderness battling against temptation, battling against evil, as personified by the figure of the devil. And then secondly, as I've already said, we have a baptism this morning as Jody takes the next steps on his journey of faith, as through the waters of baptism, he becomes a member of the body of Christ, a baptized member of the Church of God. Wonderful. We're delighted. So there's a lot going on, and it's difficult to know where to begin this sermon. So let me begin with, well, those two things, Lent and baptism, and the link between the two. Because there is actually a link between the two. You may not have heard this before, but one of the original purposes, functions you might say, of Lent was that Lent was the time when people like Jody were prepared for baptism. In the early church, so the scholars tell us, the 6 weeks or so from Ash Wednesday to Easter Day was an intensive period of instruction and preparation, study, prayer, fasting, all the rest of it. A time of preparation for those who would then be baptized at Easter. Well, if that's one of the original purposes of Lent, then you might say we've put the cart before the horse today, that we've put it the wrong way around. We're baptizing him at the beginning of Lent, not at the end of it. Well, if you're worried about that, let me say two things to you. Firstly, I would say, don't think that just because we're only a few days into Lent, which of course began on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, just because we're just a few days in means that Jody has only had a few days thinking about, praying about, preparing for today. Not at all. Today is the culmination. Today is, better said, the next step, as I say, on a journey which has been going on for years for him. Perhaps maybe all his life. God knows, literally. Besides, and secondly, I claim a strong biblical mandate for this baptism at the beginning of Lent. Because after all, can anybody here remember what Jesus did just before he went into the wilderness for 40 days? Anyone? He was baptized. He was baptized. That's right. If you take today's gospel reading, Matthew chapter 4, and you rewind the tape back to Matthew chapter 3, you will see Jesus standing in the waters of the River Jordan being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. You remember how it goes. Jesus goes to be baptized, and no sooner has he been dunked into the river then the heavens are opened, remember, to him. And he sees the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, remember. And a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." So for Jesus, the steps were as follows. First comes baptism. First comes the assurance that he is beloved by God. The assurance that the Holy Spirit of God is with him, and then, and only then, does that same Spirit drive him into the wilderness so that he has the time and the space to figure out just what that belovedness means in his life. Only after baptism does Jesus go into the wilderness to be tested, to be stretched, to spend 40 days and nights growing into an understanding of what it means to trust in God and only God. And so, Jody, with your baptism today at the beginning of Lent, I think you could say you're following the same steps, the same sequence as our Lord. First, today you will be baptized. Today you will be assured that you too are a beloved, a unique, a one-off, a precious child of God. And then, well, with this season of Lent that lies ahead of us, Jody, all of us, we can head into the wilderness, yeah? We can head into the desert, and we can pit our wits, pit our faith against all those things that tempt us, all those things that would seek to distract us from what really matters. Oh, I know that for Jody and for all of us, we won't be literally heading into a desert, a wilderness, in the next few weeks. I don't suppose that in the next 40 days the devil will offer to make many of us king of the world, if only we would bow down before him. But if you look, I think, beneath and beyond the dramatic imagery of today's gospel, I think you'll find that the temptations faced by Jesus in the wilderness have a striking similarity to the sort of temptations that we face in our lives. There are many ways of interpreting this text, but let me suggest this way to you this morning. Here are the three temptations. First, there's what we might call the temptation of appetite. The temptation of appetite. Turn these stones into bread, said the devil, and then you'll have more than enough to eat. Then you'll have more than enough to quieten your growling stomach, to quieten that deep hunger within. Well, we might have never been tempted to turn stones into bread, but I'm pretty sure that most of us have used overindulgence of one kind or another to quieten that deep hunger within, to distract us or to drug us, so we don't have to face reality. Food and drink can be those drugs, sure. But so can many other things. Take your pick. There are lots on offer. Mindless scrolling through vacuous social media comes to mind. One of my favorite ones. Or mindless anything, really. We humans have an extraordinary ability to take things which are good in themselves, food, drink, pleasures of all kinds, and turn them into deadly habits by abusing them or taking them to destructive excess. So that was the first temptation. Then there was the second one, which I call the temptation of magical thinking. Throw yourself down off the top of the temple, says the devil, and you will force God to magically step in and catch you. Again, like with our normal natural appetites, there's nothing wrong with putting our trust in God. We should put our trust in God. But when we think we can manipulate God, when we think we can control God and control every aspect of our lives so that nothing ever goes wrong, so that we never dash our foot off a stone, as it says, well, then we've crossed the line, I think, from faith into superstition or magical thinking. We're called to trust in God, not try to manipulate God. That was the second one. Then thirdly, there was the temptation of idolatry. Bow down to me, said the devil, and I'll give you the world. I'll give you everything. And again, of course, idolatry is not just about bowing down before red devils or golden calves. No, pretty much anything can become an idol in our lives. Name them out. Money, success, status, work, overwork, possessions, popularity, The list goes on. Basically, idolatry is when we give our hearts away to anything less than God. It's when we give our hearts away to anything less than the really real, anything less than the beautiful, the true, and the good. So Jody and the rest of us, those are the kind of temptations that lie ahead in the next few weeks and beyond. And I know that listed out like that, it sounds rather daunting. It sounds like a rather daunting list. So what's to be done? What's to be done? Well, there's a lot to be done by the grace of God. But can I suggest that we begin by remembering our baptism, remembering who we are and whose we are. That's how it was for Jesus. Baptism, then testing. And that's how it can be for us. So remember, Jody, remember all of us, that we are beloved, forgiven, precious, children of God. Remember that you were made by love, for love. And so don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for a cheap imitation of the real thing. And remember, too, maybe to pray, of course, says he. I was talking to someone during the week and I said, here's a good definition of prayer. Prayer is relaxing into the reality of being loved by God in order that we can rise into the realism of loving others. Maybe Lent, more relaxation. Relax into the reality of being loved by God. And remember too, Jody, remember all of us, that we're not alone. We are not alone. Baptism, no more than the task of becoming a full human being, is not something we can do on our own. We need each other. And so here in this congregation, we have a spiritual family, a spiritual home, you might say, a home which I hope, like all the best homes, is where we squabble now and then, but a home is where you're always welcome, no matter what you've done. And finally, Jody and the rest of us, never forget that the Holy Spirit is with us. It was the Spirit, remember, which descended on Jesus at his baptism. It was the Spirit, remember, which led him into the wilderness and sustained him there. And it's the same Spirit which we pray will be with you today, Jody, with us all, strengthening us, sustaining us, as we continue our journey through the wilderness and then turn at last for home. God bless you. Amen.